So would you introduce yourselves, please?
Yes, Alexa.
I'm Devin.
And you're in this band, I heard. Is there a name of this band?
There is. It's called Exit Music.
Because it's been written up a lot, but I haven't heard it, which is the How You Met story, the infamous train story. So who's gonna? I've given you the lead there for the revisionist history. So who's gonna? You want to split the train story, or is one person gonna tell the train story? Or, by the way, I'm gonna be very embarrassed now if there's not a train story.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I was traveling after high school with my best friend, Rachel, and we. We're traveling through Canada. We grew up in New York. And we were traveling through Canada on the train. And we, like, really fell in love with the train, just being on it and being sort of, like, in suspended time. Like, no newspapers, no anything, sort of this constant motion. We were, the original plan was to go through the States, like, go across Canada and continue through the States. But we got kind of scared when we were in Seattle. So we decided to head back through Canada. And simultaneously, Devin's father had met two people who were traveling, and they no longer needed their train pass, so they gave the train pass to Devin's dad, and Devin took it and got on the train. And we were in the same car, and I think... Well, you saw me first, so you tell that part, and then I'll tell
it. Yeah, I saw her walk by. She was in just up the aisle from me, and I don't know. I guess I just started watching her, and she turned around, and apparently later she said I gave her a real mean look, which wasn't my intention, but I guess I was just... We started talking, which was weird for me. I never really approached anybody before. I was also 18, and... And yeah, we just really, we talked for like the whole, almost two full days that we were on the train, and then we were in Toronto. I got the train pass revoked because it was fraudulent. I had a woman named Tammy Hopper's train pass, so the Via Rail woman didn't buy that I was Tammy Hopper. So I got thrown off the train, and we wound up hanging out in Toronto for a while.
And you were willing to trust a man with a fraudulent train pass.
Well, trust him to do what? Because, we were just talking.
Yeah, okay. Touché, that's fair.
Yeah, much, because I didn't see her again for 3 years, so.
Yeah, no, I mean, I didn't trust anything. But, it was a very meaningful connection right away that I was resentful of, because I was a loner, self-proclaimed, and, you know, really did not want a relationship or anything. So we, you know, we went our separate ways after probably like 3 or 4 days total, 2 days on the train and maybe two in Toronto. And Devin wrote me some letters, and I didn't really write back. Not even at all. Not even one word. But 3 years went by, and I would sort of think of him at times, and it would be like a hard thing to shake, you know, like if I were thinking of him, it would last for a while. And so I decided to write back, and so 3 years later I wrote back, and it's a long story.
but this is proof there's hope for everyone. Yeah. Loner meets guy with fraudulent train pass, ignores him for 3 years, end up in band. What is it like to play music for people that, except for 3 or 4 songs, the songs have not, they won't be out for a month, right?
Well, I mean, right now the set is, you know, still, it's pretty split. There's, I think we do 3 of the 4 songs on the EP and then 4 new ones, but one has been released as a single. So, you know, and I mean, for the most part, half, if not more, of the audience is hearing us for the first time anyway. So there's no real point of reference. So it's, I don't know, it's nice to be able to play new material and have people hear it live for the first time, such a different energy live.
And it's not nerve-wracking, it's cool.
I stop asking myself what's nerve-wracking. It all is. So I just ignore that.
Passage really is kind of a combo punch because there's new songs, but then you went back to some older songs, right? And you kind of, did you rework them? Did you, like Storms, for example, right? Did you rework that or remix it? Or, you know, because when you're putting together a record and you're going, okay, this is our first real full length, there's a lot of decisions to be made, right?
Yeah, that song, Alexa had written it just as an acoustic kind of thing.
Well, not acoustic, but...
Well, I mean, but you'd written it on a guitar. And we recorded it with an acoustic guitar originally. And then, I don't know, that was even before the EP. So when we were compiling the songs for the album, we went back to that and I started remixing it. And then it kind of took on a totally different shape than it had originally. And we decided to finish it. I really like that song. So,
how sick are you already of everybody writing up in using the word dark?
Well, I mean, it is kind of dark, and, you know, we're painting pictures, too, with the music and the words, and I don't know, dark's not one that bothers me. I can think of a lot of others that that bother me more. I mean, to me, it is, I guess, you know, it's darker than most indie pop right now, indie pop rock. So
the indie world skews towards really poppy stuff right now, and I guess our stuff is a little darker, but I don't find it. I feel like we try not to do things that are like really like, it's not industrial music or like, you know what I mean? It's not Nine Inch Nails or something where it's like just dark, all minor chords all the time. But it's like, I feel like it has an emotional range. It's not like we're just...
Yeah, I think it's just intense, and people use that word to sort of, you know, say that.
Well, I'm going to use a different word because when I was listening to it, and I had it really cranked, and number one, it took me somewhere. You know, I was driving on the road, and I had a 35-mile commute, and it took me to a completely different place. And I think that was part of the intent, is to take people on a journey, right? So I used the word lush. You were out to create a soundscape, were you not?
Definitely. I mean, that was sort of... you know, I think both of us, you know, our goal, I think, as songwriters is always to find this marriage or this balance between a solid song. So if we were to play it just on guitar, it would still stand up. But then to create this whole world, like paint this whole backdrop that it exists in, and to kind of have that work seamlessly together, you know.
When you think about how to portray these very lush songs visually, what went into that?
Will is the director, Will Joins, and he's really amazing at what he does, and so it's nice when you find a working relationship with someone that you trust, and you just kind of keep going back. He's doing our next video too, and you know, creating the visual tone for the music is so important, I think, because once people see the video, it almost overpowers the song in a way, you know, like those visuals are really hard to get out of your mind, you know, once you've seen a video. So for us, it's always been a really, you know, something that you don't want to mess up, you know, you really want to have it really set a tone, but not say too much at the same time. And so it just kind of creates another texture to the whole picture. And he's amazing at that. Picture and sound are amazing together. And you know, I think I always tend to like videos that sort of just show you it's like another look into the emotion of the song. So when we talked about it, I sort of said, okay, this song to me is about sort of going full speed into something that, you know, is a bad idea or not going to last or... you know, something, but the draw is still so much more powerful than what you know is going to come of it, sort of like a moth to flame. And so he really took that idea and built the idea, the video around it.
If I didn't approach this, I wouldn't be doing my job. So do you find that people are coming to see the band and people aren't coming to see Angela from Boardwalk Empire? And how do you feel about all of that?
You know, I feel great about it. It's a show and it's work of mine that I'm really proud of. I don't know. I put just as much of my heart into that, you know, as I do this. So for me, there's no conflict. There's no, I don't feel weird at all. I love it. I love that people, that role touched them. I've worked so long, at both things that for it to, you know, be recognized at all is really nice.
When you go to play a record as lush as this live, does it get more lush? Is it pretty accurate? What happens? Because I haven't seen it, but I will shortly. So.
Yeah. I mean, we've brought on two other people to help bring the lushness of the record live. I think it's pretty accurate. I just think that there's an energy live that is really hard to get on a record. It's not necessarily even better. It's just, it's so urgent and you're in the room with these people and like a whole new moment gets made, you know, it's not the creative moment anymore. It's this whole other thing of sort of showing it to people, trying to live it in front of them. And
it becomes more about the energy of it than just about the, you know, when you're working in a studio, you have a lot of time to put everything in its proper place and construct things in a sort of elegant way, whereas live it's more visceral and just about the sort of raw power of it. You know, things don't stay like discreet and in their proper place. It just becomes like, you know, it's a lot louder and crazier sounding, you know.
So I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich, and it's two of your songs as the bread. And then songs by anybody else you want to play in between. And what I do is for 40 minutes, no jingles, no talking, no nothing. I just play solid music.